Do you know where our Google group is? Do you know where our Google site is? Okay, we'll get you added to that. But it's in one of these charts. It's in the chart, so you'll see the, I'm sure you go to Google group and just search for system science, and I hope, because I made it a public site. I know that's against the NCOSI rules because they like to keep things really close. But we're system scientists. We like to break the rules. So we're okay. Another reason why we need to make it public is because we have a joint agreement with the International Society of System Sciences to collaborate, and not all of them will necessarily be NCOSI members, so we need to make sure we have a collaboration site where, you know, we can collaborate. So I had to change the agenda a little bit because Bill's counterpart, Bruce, got stuck in the weather in the Midwest somewhere.
Chicago.
He's
down tonight, I think.
He's coming tonight?
So he said.
So they're going to do tag team this afternoon. So what he's going to do is just do the first part of his project that he's working with Len. But he's also going to present the overview of Len's projects, talk about where they're coming from, where they're going, and his, and then in more detail, just maybe an hour or so, and then do a continuation Tuesday morning when Bruce is able to be here. Okay. I know we had told people that we're going to go into Tuesday, but Tuesday was always kind of an overflow time. I realize some of you are leaving Monday night, maybe Tuesday early, so some of you unfortunately might miss the second part of their talk, but I'm sure they'd be happy for you to join them in your offline.
More than happy. Very well.
Because it's the Bruce and Bill show right now. Or do you have other helpers? I guess Len's trying to help you.
We talked to him.
Okay, good. Okay, so why don't we go around the room, tell us your name, where you're from, your interest in, why you're interested in this topic, and then we'll get into the introduction to the working group for about 30 minutes, and then we'll go into some of Bill's stuff, and then we'll break for lunch. I think they said 12. Anybody know where?
No.
I mean, I assume they're providing lunch, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was in the
River Jerry's one,
yeah.
So is that the first floor?
Mm-hmm. Third floor. So the third floor of that corner.
Okay, so why don't we break a little bit early so we're first in line?
Not taking enough food, James?
Won't work, everybody else is doing that too.
Or we could break late and get the drabs or what other people don't eat. Okay, so why don't we start off?
James, can you go one more time where you have, how the connection is made, where that link is on your pages? Do you have it, or are you not even hooked up yet?
The link to what?
To your webcast. Aren't you hooked up yet?
Well, we're not doing webcast.
Okay.
Yeah. We had trouble. Bill couldn't go through the hotel net, so he did his personal cell phone to make it work. So I suspect the bandwidth limit is keeping us from logging in from here.
Ah.
So that may kibosh the visual part, but we've got the teleconference set up, and nobody has joined us. So nobody's out there. So we'll try to figure that out later, because somebody might join us tomorrow or whatever. I know Jack is going to join us Monday,
right.
So we at least got to get it working by then. Okay, so I'm James Martin. I got shanghaied into leading this group because I have a hard time saying no, and also I'm interested in just anything new and exciting that I know nothing about. So I still don't know much about system science, but I'm learning from all of you, and I'm having lots of fun doing so. Very shortly after, in fact, almost parallel to standing up this working group, there were people in NCOSI that were talking to the ISSS, International Society for System Sciences. I guess that was Jack Ring who was doing that, right?
No, yeah. I don't know.
Huh?
No, it's actually. So I came into the complex systems working group first. But
okay.
Yeah.
But who was it that had this idea of joining up with ISSS?
Me.
You, okay. So the current president of ISSS, so we have a memorandum of agreement with them so they send two reps to this workshop, and we send two reps to their annual conference. the conference is in July or June?
July 15th to 20th, San Jose, California.
And that, and they're going to hook up with the San Jose or the San Francisco Bay Area chapter. So we've got a collaboration going there. And maybe we can start up a little mini project in that area or whatever they're interested in. So we're sending Jack Ring and Kent Palmer, and neither one of them could make it this week, but they'll be our reps to the next ISS meeting. And do you know where you're meeting next year?
Vietnam.
Vietnam, okay. So if Jack and Kent don't want to go, and if anybody's interested in going to Vietnam to be our NCOSI rep, let me know. NCOSI pays for your travel expenses. Okay? So I work for the Aerospace Corporation for my day job so I can make an income. And I design space systems, which are, you know, rather large things that circle the globe and, you know, interesting stuff. So why don't we go around the room?
My name is Janet Singer. I'm here from the IEEE side. I'm the Vice President of Research and Publications. I'm sort of a legacy representative here. My father was a member of IEEE in the 70s, and he was in OR and systems analysis, worked at MITRE and SRI in the early days, starting in the early 50s. And so I grew up being interested in these big questions of integrating across systems disciplines and systems paradigms. I have a master's in math, and I also have a background in liberal arts, and I've been in several graduate engineering programs trying to find one that where I can do the kind of integrative work I want to do. That's where I've been recently. And so my husband, Michael, when we met, I learned more about the strict system engineering perspective, and even about that.
Which comes from my experience at JPL, also in space systems. Looking at system engineering practices, unifying methodology across the lab at that time. And since then, exploring with Janet a whole number of areas related to system science as well these days. And because I have a role in IEEE as well in the heading up the modeling and simulation.
I'm officially modeling and simulation.
Okay, we're overlapping. The working group there. So we have interest in span a variety of related areas.
I guess a lot of us are pretty spacey. I started off in planetary and space science.
Big picture view.
But sort of mid-career, I made a switch from physics to ecology, which is, I thought was probably going to ruin me at the time. But now I'm trying to integrate the two. So I'm a sort of a scientific transvestite, I guess. And that got me into relational theory. So I'm looking at relational theory originally from its applications in ecology, but now seeing that the work that Robert Rosen did, his life's work on relational theory, raises it to the level of being a general theory for all of nature. So we're actually looking at its application in space-time physics and cosmology.
I'm Bob Siegel. I've been working in systems engineering, complex systems, system to systems for 20 plus years for the Department of Defense and intelligence community, and interested in this group because of the unifying, more holistic aspect. I think one of the taglines is, you know, let's learn from 4.5 billion years of the Earth and that type of system science that's associated with that. So I'm very interested in that type of language and that unifying aspect.
David Ng. As James said, I'm the current president of the ISSS, International Society for the System Sciences. My term ends in July, after I delivered the conference, I guess. I've been a member of the society since 1998, and I fell into the society. A lot of the foundations I have are out of the Russell Acoff community and social system science program that they have. And it's interesting that I'm one of the few people that keeps showing up there that's never actually studied under Acoff. I studied under people around Acoff, but not under Acoff himself. I have a 27-year career at IBM. I'm not wearing that badge today, but it influences the way that I see the world. So I'll be leading the workshop tomorrow. We're having a conversation format in the Banathy style, which I'll explain tomorrow. But I will give you the opportunity tomorrow to not be in this room in the afternoon. You can go wherever you want. So maybe you want to be outside having discussions as opposed to being in the room.
Jennifer Wilby. I'm a lecturer at the University of Hull in the UK. I've also been with Entreplast in various roles since 1988. President last year and VP for administration back in that job. I was before I took presidency, and now I'm back doing that again. So working on conferences each year and helping to keep things going. I'm part of the discussion here today. My university is kind enough to fund me, so that's why I'm here.
I'm Richard Martin. I'm going to be working with Jack Ring on Monday to do a presentation on some work that Jack had been laboring over for about 2 years now. I am also I've been working with the ENCOSI Intelligent Enterprise Working Group for some years to produce its first report. I'm also the convener of an ISO working group in the manufacturing systems area dealing with enterprise architectures. When my day job, such as it is anymore, I am now working with a small number of small companies that I've been working with for a very long time now, and I provide all of their systems and technology and business management related services that are associated with that.
My name is Linda Britt. I am an electrical and systems engineer, and I'm simply president of the Kuzu or Melinda, and this is the group I was most interested in, so I showed up.
Troy Peterson, I'm with Blue Zeno in Hamilton. I support the DOD with ground systems, tanks, trucks, things of that nature. I've gone over part of that. Michigan chapter president, outgoing, and thank you.
Kerry Kilbrunen, I'm relatively new. I just wanted to see what you do. I've been working with the Department of Defense for many years at Eglin Air Force Base, weapons development.
Harold Lawson, but people call me Bud. And I've been working in systems engineering and computer engineering for many, many years. And since the early parts of the 2000s, I've been working with interest in system science and systems thinking. And I'm particularly interested, as you were saying, in the integration of these in order to really solve these types of problems. I was the architect of the 15288 standard, which I think represents some interesting new ideas about systems engineering, or unifying ideas anyhow, that were at the time, as well as having this other end interest in systems thinking, which has evolved. And I think it's important to look at the holistic aspects and how to, and one of the serious problems we have is to getting systems engineers to apply systems thinking and system science ideas. So I'm very actively teaching about that around the world, as a matter of fact. So. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I'm Rex Halao. I'm an assistant professor from the University of the Philippines. I'm also a PhD student from PhD student in industrial engineering from Arizona State University, and I'm also the vice president of the student division of ENCOSI at ASU. So the Philippines sent me here to obtain my PhD in industrial engineering, and of course to bring in new information back home. So I'm hoping to open our own PhD program, and of course the system science in general.
Hi, I'm Eric Honor, and I've got a rather eclectic career in systems engineering, doing lots of different things, some military work, some commercial work, worked with many different disciplines and domains. And I've been in the leadership of ENCOSI in the past, and in that leadership really became convinced that we don't know as much about systems engineering as we think we do. and became very interested in the issues of complexity and systems science to understand better why we do what we do and try to integrate it better. I found through the years, I believe systems engineers tend to be very pragmatic individuals, just doing what's in front of them the best way they can find to do it. And I think we need something better. So that's why I'm here. I will be in and out of this meeting room because I have several other things I'm interested in too. That was an interesting sentence.
Somebody's logging in.
Hello?
Was that a modem tone? Been a long time since
unless
we've heard
somebody
one
here
of those.
Dial it with feedback.
Okay. Dwayne Hybertson with the MITRE Corporation. I've been working in software engineering, systems engineering for quite a few years. And I've also had a long time interest in trying to get a more holistic kind of view, a more foundational view, which I see systems science, in that role to be a foundation that we need to, I think, bring to bear more. And I've been involved with this group and its predecessor, the Systems Science Enabler Group, Ron Hoyt, started with that in 2005.
I'm Bill Chanel with ICTT System Sciences. Been a system engineering fellow for somewhat over 30 years, starting out in Mil Aero and in recent years, lots of commercial companies, especially manufacturers. Some of the companies we work with are biotech manufacturing companies, which means their manufacturing processes are alive, which is kind of interesting, causes lots of funny things to happen. So that would be one reason we'd be interested in this topic. We'll talk about, but also we're just interested in what can be learned from the science and the natural world about the systems that we engineer. So we started a project a year ago along that line that we'll talk about some more today.
Okay, very good. Did we get along this row, everybody in the room? Okay. The roster is kind of going around. Okay, make sure you get your name on the roster. And I forgot to mention, if I need to add you to the working group discussion list, actually in here I'll show you the link so you can go join yourself, but if you have trouble joining, let me know and I'll add you on.
It was very easy. I did it while you were speaking.
Very good. Okay. It's actually harder for me to add you than it is for you to join yourself, because I have to send you an invitation. But then you have to be smart enough to go to the very bottom message and click a button that says join or accept this invitation. A lot of people get that and think they're in. But so I notice every now and then there's still 10 or 12 people who are invited but haven't clicked that little button. Okay, so these charts are on our webpage. I have I'll just look out of there and show you our Google site if you haven't seen it. By the way, here's our discussion list. Here's the discussions. It kind of, like some discussion list, there's a big storm, and then it goes away for weeks. And all of a sudden, Jack says something provocative, and it goes ballistic for a while, then goes to dormant. So it's kind of very, I don't know, I'm sure the word is, but kind of sporadic and
Jack-driven.
So I was hoping it would be kind of a more continuous thing, but maybe there's some other, between the meetings, maybe there's other ways to kind of keep in touch. Because I know there's a whole bunch of collaboration forums that IEEE sponsors, IFSR sponsors, there's a whole bunch of blogs out there and so on. So I was hoping at least on our webpage, maybe we can start a list of all those little discussion areas that people can go to if they're interested in this, that, or whatever. So maybe I should start a page and we can just start collecting those. In fact, the last thing was the pre-reading for the Sunday session. So if you're interested, you can go in there and before tomorrow, just read ahead And if you don't, he's going to read it all to you tomorrow anyway. So we have our meetings. We had our first workshop July of last year. We had our first joint meeting with ISSS January, exactly a year ago. So we're coming around our first year. But we had two workshops. I'm sorry, that was 2 years ago. I keep forgetting this is 2012. So I guess we're going into, so we had a workshop July, then joint meeting in January, and then two workshops last year, and now this one. Now, I don't have anything scheduled for the summer meeting in Rome because I won't be there. I'm hoping one of you might be going there and could be willing to be just the host of the meeting, because I can set up all the logistics, the room, and send out the advertisements, tell people what's happening, and I have plenty of people who would be willing to talk for hours on end. So if somebody's just willing to be the warm body standing there to greet people as they come in and just handle it, because I can't make it, my company is too tight with money this year. Anybody going to Rome? So anybody here willing to be the kind of the host of the meeting? So think about it. I mean, anybody want to jump up and do that for us? Not yet. So we typically have that. We met in Denver. Was it Denver? What was that? The June meeting last year was Denver, I think. Yeah. So we just usually have it on Sunday all day, 9 to 5 or something, because the only thing happening that day is kind of people rolling in, and there's some couple free tutorials, and there's some committee meetings. But the real stuff starts on Monday. So if somebody's willing to lead it, I'll set up the room, I'll go reserve the room, I'll go do all the logistics and get the notices out and just tell everybody, and people will just show up. And in Denver, we had like 30 people. And we had like, I think Jack talked all day, but we had some other side discussions. So, and you guys might want to have a follow on it. I don't think I get Len there, but maybe one of Len's people working with Len can show what's happening with his stuff since then, or whatever. Okay, so talk to me, and I'll try to twist your arm a tiny bit and get you just to be there, because I can't be there. So we have our projects, and let's open up this workshop here, and you'll see that if you haven't looked there. We have some attachments. So here we have the first few are stuff that Richard Martin had put on there for Monday sessions, some of the concept maps. And we have Jack Ring's presentation. And we have this is...
That's the one we're going to do this one?
That's the one which is that? That's yours? Okay. The Systems of Innovation, SOI, you have to know what that means. And this is a project status for Len's project. And this is the slides you were just looking at, the intro. And here's the flyer I sent out. So did we put your stuff on here?
I'm sure I sent your stuff. Well, I guess I did send something.
Okay. I need to get that posted.
Yeah.
So you sent me something?
Yeah, I think I did.
Well, yeah, I don't think I got that. So we need to get your stuff posted. Anything else that comes up, like if, you know, anything else comes up, we'll post everything. So this is our record of what we've done.
Dave?
Yeah.
Are you sharing this?
No, we can't get it working here. We tried several avenues. Actually, you're sharing, aren't you?
Let's see. I think I was.
We were only able to get Bill Behoff's computer sharing because he bypassed the hotel network and went through his cell phone. Unfortunately, on my laptop, we can't be sharing, but I believe everything we're going to have is on our project page so far. But at least for Monday morning when you present your stuff, we'll have to figure out, we may have to go through somebody's, you know, bypass network or something. I noticed the workshop network only has two bars, but the hotel network has three bars. We might want to go through the stronger signal. Maybe that'll make it work. We think it
shouldn't make any difference.
Shouldn't?
No.
But why is it he got through and we didn't? So We know it's working. So we don't know what the problem is. So we'll figure out. Yeah?
You can have the live feed page up, the upper left corner says content. And if you click on that, you'll see whether or not you're sharing your page. It doesn't have anything to do with what network you're on.
Well, I get an error every time I try to join the meeting, the live meeting. So I can't even get in.
Okay, sorry.
So I'll try again. Join. And it'll try for a while, and then it'll eventually give me an error. I was able to join the other day at work. So.
You re-entered the password.
Where are you trying to go, James?
What? I'm trying to go to our live meeting.
And how is your access to that? What's your access link to this?
I'm not sure what you mean.
How are you getting there? What are you pushing to get there?
Well, he's in Firefox.
I'll show you. Okay, if you go to the email I sent out, this one went to the, it looks like this. This is the subject line. And this went out to the, you should have seen it.
What's the date when you send it?
January.
It says,
no.
What date is this?
12/24/11.
Yeah, I don't know.
January 18th.
I can't tell when. Oh, it says January 18th. That's when it sent out. So that's 3 days ago. It went January 18th, 3 days ago. And down here, there's a little button that says join the meeting. If you click on that, it should work. And if that doesn't work, you copy and paste this URL into the web browser and then type in the meeting ID and entry code. So there's two ways, the auto hyperlink and then the manual cut and paste.
We weren't able to get that to work with the Macintosh when I was doing the webinar. I had to go to the Windows side of the machine.
Well, live meeting is a Microsoft thing, so they don't like Apple. So I don't know. But I was able to get this working at my office, so
yeah.
I know it works on the computer, just not today.
XP, so that should work.
So that's how you get to it. If you can find this email that was sent out, because I said the participant is the System Science Working Group discussion list. So it went to all 120 of you. So that's how it's supposed to work.
Well, all that works. And so when you go through it all, you get a web page and live meeting.
Well, I know how, yeah, but it didn't work on my computer. Yeah, so a browser window shows up, and then I just share that, and everybody can see it and be logged in.
James, I'm not seeing that email.
Right, it's not on the discussion list.
Well, let me forward this to the discussion list.
Okay. And that's Jack with us on the...
It was sent the 19th.
We want to have an introduction.
Oh, you found it somewhere.
Sent on the 18th at 9:26 a.m.
From
James and... 18th.
No, there's only 7 addressees on it.
Okay. Never mind. It should have sent it. Jack, did you get the invitation? Oh, that's probably because I sent it to you directly. Okay, so now it's gone to the whole group. So, but you don't need to log in if you're here, because you can see.
Yeah, we got that up.
So Jack, you're the only one online on the telephone, so no one else has joined us remotely.
Blessing group and go to ID.
Yeah. Okay, so.
You can go on Skype and share your screen.
Yeah, that's the other way to do it.
Okay, so let's get into the slides. So now we're in the intro slides. So this is just a reminder of the charter and the three objectives. And Dwayne Harberton is my co-chair. So he's helping me out. And I always welcome other co-chairs who I want to step up and help. So we can change these meeting objectives, but these are my thoughts. But primarily, review status and plans for what's going on in the several projects, develop and understand new principles and concepts, and by the presentation we have over the next 3 or 4 days, we'll hopefully achieve that goal, and help prepare for the IFSR conversation event in April in Austria. So there will be 10. So IFSR, International Federation for Systems Researchers, and COSI just joined as a member of that. I don't know, how many are members are there, 20 or 30?
Mid-20s.
Yeah, so it's almost a couple dozen, and COSI just joined them. So they invited us to host one of the discussion groups, and we have 8 or 9 people participating. Most of them are in COSI, but there are some people who are not in COSI, so it'll be an interesting mix between system scientists and system engineers. And our topic is the common language for system praxis, which is what will be discussed tomorrow. David Ng's leading that, and Richard on Monday. So we have 2 sessions, Sunday and Monday. They're going to help us prepare, do some preliminary work, so we go into the meeting with some thoughts that have already been discussed, and then we can take it from there. So secondarily, there might be some new work projects somebody wants to nominate, and we get that going. And if there's time, develop work plans for the new projects, and generally, learn how system science relates to SE, learn more about system science, and have fun. Does anybody object to these objectives?
But I'm not objecting at all, just adding.
Okay.
I'm involved with the Systems Engineering Body of Knowledge Project, and we have a knowledge area about systems in general, and then we have about systems engineering. And in this systems in general, we're trying to portray a perspective of system science and systems thinking and how they related to systems engineering and how systems engineers should use these. And Rick Adcock, who's the leader of that, I'm the leader of part 4 on the application of systems engineering, but Rick is the leader of part 2. And we have a set of PowerPoint slides that I'd like to present and get some feedback, establishing the general idea of what we're trying to accomplish in that part 2. That would be useful to get some feedback.
So what's the name of part 2?
Yeah, it's about, I think it's just called systems.
Okay, so there's an article, I guess it's called a really, yeah, just part 2. Not
well, it's not the article, it's, well, it's, let's say
the knowledge group.
The approach.
What's, part 2 has several knowledge areas, one of them being.
Well,
I'll add that as an objective.
Right.
To help do that.
And then there's a text which is being developed, which needs to be worked on. Anybody who's interested, particularly when we get to the 0.75 version at the middle of March, we would like to have people review that text as well.
Okay.
And what we have developed in the last few days in Daytona is kind of a overview of presentation of how we see the structure of that, and that I think is useful because it's also quite related to the ontology work.
Right.
Okay.
Sounds good. So let's move on. The agenda has changed slightly in the last few days, partly because of weather-related problems, and John Kinnaman was not sure if he was going to be coming. So you're finally here, but it turned out for other reasons you have to leave earlier than you thought.
Yeah, the reason I actually came is no longer here. So.
But you're here anyway.
I'm here.
But you're going to have to leave early, so we decided to, because of the shift of part 2, the pathologies part, we're going to cover that Tuesday morning. So he's going to cover the first part. And then that opens up some time for John to talk most of the afternoon. So Rick Adcock, and if Rick's not here, Bud will present.
Right. If Rick can't come, I'll do it.
And I guess it's bigger than system science. It's really just the whole.
Well, no, it's about systems in general, and what we're trying to extract from a thinking about system science and systems thinking, and use it in a systems approach, which would so that relationship we're trying to develop, and we have some presentation about that, which we just evolved in the last few days. So.
Okay, so we'll be kind of fluid depending on if Rick shows up or not.
Right.
I think he is tied up, so he told me that, that
I'll do it if
you'll
he
do
is
it.
Not here.
So we'll just kind of figure out when's a good time, and we'll start off, John, probably right after lunch at 1 o'clock. And then tomorrow, David Ng is all day, so we're 8 to 5 tomorrow, 8 to 5 Monday, and I think it's 8 to 2:30, 1:30? I forget what. It's a shorter day because they have the closing plenary.
We'll be done in the morning.
Actually, on the email, I said 9 to 6 because the email was for the web conference. And so tomorrow morning we start at 9. Sharp.
Well, let's tell these people to be here at 8 because they'll drag in and need to drink their coffee. Well, we need to start at 8 because the program says we start at 8. So, unfortunately, I didn't. I guess I set up the.
Well, because the emails I've been sending out put the pointer one to the wiki. So, if anyone looks at it and they want
to
join.
Let me just double check to see when it says we're supposed to be.
We have the room.
8 to 5. So, people, if they follow this, they might be showing up. So, let's just go ahead and get started. We'll formally start yours. So we can just have some preliminary discussion. This is what the heck are you are doing? Who are you?
I could assign some homework.
So we will start at 8 here. We really get rolling on your stuff at 9.
Okay.
What, you told 9 to 6 or 9 to 5?
I said 9 to 6. That's what your email said. So.
Okay. I must have had a daylight savings time shift or something because we only have the room till 5.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I don't think they'll kick us out, but they might come, you know, trying to clean up. At 5, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just play it by ear. That's the agenda. And by the way, I would like to maybe, if anybody's interested, have a group dinner tonight and tomorrow night. Is anybody interested in that? So after the afternoon, if anybody has some suggestions for something in the area, if we have enough cars, we can drive somewhere. So maybe check with the concierge or whatever. I guess we can always eat in the hotel, but I'd rather go out if possible.
Places within walking distance here, too.
Yeah. So maybe just do a little homework on the lunch break.
There's out here on Jacksonville Landing, so you just walk out to the water and walk over. There's a whole bunch of restaurants.
Okay, so maybe we'll just say, this afternoon we'll agree on a time to meet downstairs. Probably 6 o'clock would be good if we break up here at 5. So we'll revisit that in the afternoon. So here's our project list. At our workshop a year ago, we went through a process of identifying some candidate projects, and my rule was it can't be a project on this list unless at least two people say they're going to do it. There's a lot of people who said we ought to do this, but only that person said they were going to do it. So some of them are inactive, haven't started yet, but the red ones are the ones that are pretty much ongoing. And I added this third one for yours, and it's kind of a sub-project to these others. The two jack rings, I'm not even sure I can tell the difference between them.
We're going to combine them.
You're going to combine them, okay. The jack ring had a third one, formulation of a periodic table of systems, which I guess if you finish this, then you can do that. But anybody here, if they want to do that, they can just go ahead and start that now. Why wait? So, Dwayne Hybertson, I don't know if you want to take this off the list or maybe
it's sort of
try to get people interested or morph it into something else.
Yeah. I don't have plans to get it started right now, but let's kind of leave it there.
Okay.
We can take it off later.
So, if anybody's interested in helping Dwayne on that, it's basically not quite as bad as how do we solve world hunger, but how do we fix Nkosi?
even more difficult.
Right. Right. So have at it if you're like to do that. And John Thomas sounds like he's willing to go do that.
Who's doing number one?
This one?
Yeah.
Len.
That's
Len.
Yeah. These two are Len. See, the LT means Lantern Colleen.
Oh, Lantern Colleen. Okay.
And this is Mike D. I haven't seen Mike for a while. I don't know if he's still interested, but he said that he can't do this until Jack finishes his stuff, because his stuff is going to be based on the ontology. And then Hillary Silatud has suggested a couple. In fact, the ontology for Book K. Seebeck, I would claim that's already being done by Sandy Friedenthal. Sandy's working on the concept maps for.
Yeah, right.
Now those would be an interesting thing for us to review.
Well, I could even perhaps present the current thinking. We mangled that in Daytona Beach, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
With Sandy.
That would be interesting.
You're another topic for Monday.
That would be perfect to bring up on Monday as an example of an ontology. We're talking ontology on Monday.
Okay. We have some top level stuff. It's not too deep, but I think it would be useful maybe to.
Yeah, I think it would be.
I could do that as well.
Sure. And then the second one from Hillary, and then Gary Metcalf, the white paper. I don't remember who was, let me see the next page. The white paper was, Bud, you're supposed to be working that with Gary. What's the status of that white paper?
Well, I think it was integrated in September, is the last version I've had. Is that Jennifer? You contributed as well, I think.
I saw some, that there was a linked paper.
Well, I presented it at the IS, the current status, and so I think that there may be more input into that based off some of the other stuff that's coming out of the IFSR workshop.
Yeah.
But that's where we should re-engage that.
So that'll be a topic at the IFSR event where we kind of work that. Well, that seems to be the wrong venue because it's really about.
I don't think there's a conflict there. I think that might be a good place to particularly since we have several people together.
Right.
So could you take the lead on when we're there, kind of find out the proper time to bring it up and how to, I'd like to kind of issue that white paper and just say, okay, this is our first working group product is a white paper. And we can always update it later, but I'd like to wrap that one up and get it published. Okay, so.
I think it would be useful to note the correlation with the chapter in the CBOT called System Science. I believe that we were trying to make the white paper suffice for that chapter.
Yeah, well, that wasn't really the purpose of the white paper originally. But I think if we had published it, then the System Science CBOC article could reference it.
Sure.
Because it's supposed to be the guide to the SE BioKnowledge, and if not in the BioKnowledge, unless it's published. That's why I want it published, so we can. And there may be some material in there that we can just fold into Rick's article.
But it shouldn't be.
But it's not meant to replace it, because that article has other things it's trying to do.
Right.
But I think
it's meant to replace it.
Yeah. So Bud's working both pieces, so he'll make sure that they're in sync and aligned up. And maybe overlapping and common material.
A question, what does EOS stand for on HS2? EOS.
Engineering of systems. And system engineering and engineering systems, so there are some people who say that there's a difference. And if that project ever gets going, it'll highlight what the commonalities and differences are. So Jack, there's a question on Hillary's second project, and what's the difference between SE and EOS? And can you say 23 words about that?
Well, the primary difference is yet to be agreed on, but Derek Kitchens and I and others have made the case that systems engineering identifies the problem and works it down to the statement of what components might be required, and then the engineering of systems takes over and creates such components and makes them all work together.
I just see a V, and you're just coming up the other side of the V.
It sounds like you're interested in working that project. So another way of saying that is Eberhard Rechten would call what Jack just said, call it systems architecting, because that's basically what he says in his book. And that's another view. Yeah.
I was just going to mention that the engineering of systems appears to be a bottoms-up approach, so what you're dealing with. For example, electrical engineers and mechanical engineers who know nothing about systems, they're dealing with the modular level, and then building up until you get to systems engineering. So it's still the, they're still involved in the engineering of the overall system without being systems engineers.
Yeah, so that's another view. Another view is MIT has a program called Engineering Systems, which is their take on system engineering, because they think system engineering is too limiting. So we have the MIT view, the bottom-up view, the Jack Ring, Derek Kitchen view, you know, there's various, and then the EIA 632 standard was called Processes for Engineering a System, but that was clearly not bottoms-up, it was clearly top-down and outward, inward, you know. So you have, there's four or five different perspectives on what EOS is. So that was just supposed to highlight the different flavors and what the difference is.
So that kind of brings up another aspect. I'm just wondering, like, what does this group use as a methodology to make sure that there's coherence on a common system science type of language through all these projects? So I heard in one instance the ontology goes first before we can work some of the number four up there.
Yeah.
So that coherence across our projects.
Yeah.
Is
the key difference really is, I think, is that whether or not system engineering is considered to be a branch of engineering. Many people say that. Other people say that system engineering, there's a hell of a lot more to system engineering than engineering. And we're right in the middle of it with language and ontology, you see. Because in an engineering curriculum, you don't get a real course in linguistics and how to call it, how to name things. Disambiguously. So it's important to get clear about these, particularly these two topics.
I agree completely with Jack that it's important that we get.
The system engineering is a branch of engineering. You're going to have a great deal of difficulty growing system engineers.
I agree with Jack completely that it's important that we get clarity on these terms. We get people talking at opposite ends in all sorts of directions. Jack, this is Sarah Connor. But I'm also aware, David, that the IISS has been dealing with this kind of issue for years also. How do you deal with language and semantics and ontology within IISS? You've described it to me as being very wide open with many different participants with different ideas. How do you deal with language when people say system and mean something different by it?
Well, the way that I deal with it is I deal with the historical view, and that's probably that shaped a lot of what Gary's paper was. It came from the historical view as well. And so when you see me tomorrow presenting, it'll be Acoff said this, and if you went over to Stafford Beer, you'd say something completely different, and you kind of go, okay, you know, I understand where you're coming from, and somewhere in the middle, right? Or it could be different perspectives. So we always reference back. But that's pretty scientific, right?
This is exactly the problem that we're talking about, and this is something that INCOSI has been struggling with since it was founded. We've had definitions for these terms that haven't been accepted because they weren't widely accepted by people. And we saw this morning in the plenary presentation, we saw about 30 different standards groups working on different standards for things. And what I generally saw was a reformulating of the knowledge that we already have under different language by different people with different ideas. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do with all of this, Jack. You've been working it for years too. You got ideas how to bring it to conclusion?
We have ideas on how to attempt to bring it to conclusion. It's been done in other fields. So in fact, we're going to look at that Monday. But we've got the basic nub is, you see, even IISS, the history there was general systems research and didn't involve very much about general semantics. And when you're in the system engineering world, what you call things makes a hell of a difference. Our basic decision is whether or not we're going to strive to get this whole thing clarified so that human beings can interchange knowledge, or we're going to strive to get popular consensus or popular votes about what to call things.
Because one
we're stuck in this popularity contest, we're never going to get clear.
Because one activity attracted me to ECOSI with the SysML work, which has its critics, but they went through a process. They went to the OMG, and that's how they got to where they are. And so the question is, do you believe in the OMG process, or you not believe in it? That's the foundation, right?
You know, I think, though, that, Jack, this is Janet Singer, that the appreciation of context and multiplicity of perspective is one of the things that we really treasure in IEEE S. And so there's a recognition that there's no one truth, no one ontology to rule them all, and that
I agree.
That we really disappoint.
Nobody's got the little golden ring.
Right. And so we can tolerate diversity,
sure.
and it's an ongoing process, and you know,
right.
and one looks for ways to organize it all, and
right.
you know, without constraining.
Well, I think you asked about what's the methodology. I saw that the UK had a working group on capability,
mm-hmm.
and what they did is they went out and tried to understand the different perspectives on the word capability, the concept capability, and they did it from a belief system perspective. They said different communities have different beliefs about capability, so let's model those different belief systems and then not try to find one and declare that to be the one everybody else should follow, but just recognize that there are different belief systems and they overlap. There's homonyms and synonyms, same word for different concepts, different words for the same concept, and they just try to examine the way people talk about things and what do they mean when they say things, and they published a paper that's going to be presented at this year's symposium. So that's one methodology, is kind of just capture people's belief systems, and maybe coming out of that will be some kind of some fundamentals that can be the unifying stuff behind those different belief systems. But I think the diversity of views is kind of a basic principle of system science, that you need to respect, though, that there's no one truth, that there's multiple truths, there's different belief systems, and in some sense they're just our mental models of what we, you know, it's our mental model that we found works for that where we work.
And I think that's an excellent point, very important. And even with like SysML and let's say OPM, object process methodology, each has its place. And I found that the certain set of terms might really be very helpful in a certain dialogue. In architecture, form and function, one must come before the other, or no, you zigzag, you go back and forth. In the same way, these ontologies have a purpose. It might be very useful for us to think about what the purpose and its use and its strengths are, because some have a core strength in one area and some have a core strength in another area. And going between them can actually provide some insight, I think. And there's something to the diversity of thought in there that can help. But if we're talking past one another, we don't understand those strengths, then it's not helpful and it's actually distracting.
And I think that gets back to what David was saying, that if you take the historical view and you look at the what were these people trying to accomplish, what were the purposes that were driving them when they were using the language in this way, then you now we have a coherent picture that respects the communities of practice and but doesn't constrain us. But and so it actually integrates with the integration of the communities of practice. I think looking at purpose is really important.
That you be conscious of the fact that Albert Einstein didn't constrain himself to the historical view.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered that there were some things that need to be talked about that had been perceived before.
But we might be talking about the use of language to accomplish things. You know, maybe we're trying to develop an integrative view of the of inquiry and of you know, engineering, so it's self-referential rather than purely, studying a
yeah.
clear...
Yeah. Well, and that's specifically the objective of this ontology, unified ontology project. You see, we're not trying to standardize an ontology. We recognize that there isn't an ontology. What we're trying to do is trying to do is come up with a set of tribal nomenclature and then be able to cross-reference those tribal notions so that the tribes can understand one another.
Right.
We call it tomato, I call it tomato. Once we get to that level of understanding, we know, both know it's that little red thing that is classified as a fruit that should never be used in a fruit salad.
Jack, I'll make a comment. This is John Kinneman. I'll make a comment on that, because I was also thinking earlier about the Lem's unified system science theory, and it's actually what he's doing is an integrated system science approach or theory. And the comments you just made made me think of that too, because you can take a multiplicity of different worldviews and different approaches and different ontologies, and you can link them and come up with common terms. Of course, there's going to be ambiguities and difficulties in doing that. You have to look up tables and the crosswalks and all that sort of thing. Essentially, it's not a different problem than we dealt with in the data world, where we have different ontologies that have to be crosswalked, different metadata terms, and things like that. And that is the first approach, and probably the most common approach, and a very necessary approach. But the one thing it can easily leave out is the new ideas. You don't necessarily get emergence from that. You get crosswalks, but the thing that will, the one ring that will bind them all doesn't necessarily come out of that approach. And so then there's another approach, which is actually unified theory, where you go at a deeper level and you try to come up with a more parsimonious view. And that's actually, when you said Einstein, that's actually what he, in his book, Special and General Relativity, he tried to explain to the layperson his process of coming up with relativity. And what he said was that the previous approaches had come up with two incontrovertible facts about nature, the constancy of the speed of light and local frame, and the fact that physics doesn't change between different inertial frames. So those two facts that are well established Newtonian science were completely contradictory. So he said the essence wasn't to link them or relate them or to choose which one is right. It was to step completely outside the box and see what we had to change about our assumptions, or basic assumptions about reality, in order to make both of those absolutely true. So that's where he did a unified theory. So I just wanted to point out that distinction between integrating theories and unifying, or and trying to find a unified theory.
I think we can show examples where it's been done, in geometry it's been done, in nuclear physics it's been done, in music it's been done, in mathematics. That is a unification of the different ways that people choose to talk about things without standardizing the way they have to talk about. And if we observe what was done in those other fields, and then we bring it over to the system world and the system engineering world, and add a little bit of humbleness, well, we might be able to create a unified way for both tribes to interchange knowledge.
I'll make another suggestion there. Is that, again, going back to your reference to Einstein and his approach, the thing, what it boils down to is identifying the paradox. So get the system of systems approach that Len's doing, get the common terminology and all the lexicons, but then within that, try to group them into what is the fundamental paradox among all of these that prevents them from being one theory.
Yeah.
And then if you do that, then resolve the paradox, then you've got your unified theory.
Aware, by the way, that part of the SE tribe called System of Systems, that label is used to designate a whole bunch of systems that have been mashed together. On the other hand, Lentron colleagues using the phrase System of Systems is not the same. Len Gonzalez was talking about the system system interactions.
Wow.
He's talking about a lexicon of system relationships. He's not talking about system of systems the way the rest of the world talks about.
So we started off this thread of conversation when Robert asked, what is the methodology to get to this? And I would say, well, there's 11 methodologies on the chart here, and all of them are working their own way to kind of get to the goals of that project. And there's a meta methodology of all these projects being unified by the working group, and we have two meetings a year where we get to sit around the table and talk about it, and maybe you can identify the paradox and, you know, figure out, you know, what, how can we resolve that paradox and that kind of stuff. But does that answer your question? I don't think there's one methodology.
I think that's it. It's a meta methodology of the projects, and then we bring it back into this group in this forum.
So I think each project is kind of attacking a different part of the problem, and they probably need to be creative in the methodology that works there. And I suspect some of them will try a methodology and it doesn't work, and then they have to try something else.
And well, I'll point out, and I'll be quiet, that 5 years ago, the IEEE attacked this situation, and they formulated a very intelligent group of people called their Standard Upper Ontology Project. And at the end of 5 years, when they had nothing to show for it, they agreed that there was not an ontology, that there were going to be several ontologies, etc. What they did not perceive or admit is that they had tried to come from the general to the specific, instead of the alternative is to work several specific instances and then learn from those and generalize to the universal. And so I'm very strongly suggesting that our working group start with specific instances of the way we name things and refer to things and what that means, and work a dozen or so of those, and then begin to discover universalities in those specific instances. Mm-hmm. I know that's not science, but it works.
No, it's part of science, but you have to do both. You have to go general to specific and specific to general at the same time, and nationally together.
Well, if you follow Charles Sanders Peirce, there's a third way. You just talked about induction and deduction. There's all the abduction. Where just
yes, sir.
You've got to make sure you handle the third way, too.
And one other point is that most of our discussions have tended to be up and down the line, scalar. Whereas, if you pay a lot of attention to John Kinnaman, you're going to discover that there's four different facets to this whole relationship problem. And until we talk about all four of them, we're blindly describing elephants. Not to say that's what John Kinnaman would claim, but that's what I claim about his work.
yeah, that was an accurate.
I just want to say that that phrase, no one ontology to rule them all, that was from John Soa referring to the Standard Upper Ontology project.
Yeah.
And John Soa was warning from the beginning that they would find that there was no one upper ontology because of the work that he'd done since the 70s. There have been many people who have tilled this ground trying to find integrative.
However, in the history of...
Except for John's theory, that's the
in
one.
The history of science, it has not been a good idea to predict what can't happen or can't be done.
Okay, so anything else on this list of projects?
Another point while we're on Soa. I have kept John Soa reasonably apprised of our activity, and he has been politely silent, which indicates to me that we haven't yet discovered perhaps a decent path. So I'm hoping someday to get John to participate more deeply in our work, but right now he's politely keeping a distance.
Okay, so let's. The next slide, 6, is just the same information. I think there was another Bill, I think I had this on this list. I remember we added that, but I forgot to put it on the previous slide. Do you remember that?
I do.
Is that still, is that started yet, or what's happening there?
We're using it. It's not being treated as a project within Nkosi specifically, but it's something that we're just, we're even using it in the project that we're doing, so I can point
it
out.
So what was the rationale for that we put it on the list? I thought we were going to do more with it. Should I take it off the list?
I think at the time, you can take it off the list as far as I can see.
Well, is the idea there published somewhere?
Yes, it's in a paper here in Nkosi last year.
Okay, so I can take that off the list because it's in that paper?
Yes.
Okay.
You could even say it was published in the paper. And
sounds good.
Check.
Well, so I'll check it off as done.
Yes, it is.
Good. Very good. So I'll do that. So I like to give you a thought for the day. I don't remember who said this exactly a year ago. System science and means of getting at things that really matter with respect to systems and the context of systems. Do you remember who said that? Should I give him credit?
It must not matter.
Anybody want to take credit? I'd be happy. So I have Dwayne's helping us be a note taker. I would love to have a webmaster. I've been kind of doing that for the lack of anybody else helping, but I don't know much about the web, and I try not to learn too much about it. And webinar coordinator, John Kinneman gave a webinar, but that's in the Nkosi umbrella. I'd like to have a whole series of system science webinars, but I just would like to have somebody be the coordinator. I have plenty of topics to feed the coordinator. All the coordinator has to do is schedule them and work with headquarters to get the proper notices out and so on. And you had like over 100 participants in your webinar.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You had almost 150.
150 participants. God. So there's obviously an interest in system science webinars. I believe Jack Ringy gave one last year. And I think Len Troncalli gave one, so we've actually given three system science, but I would like to have one every month. We can still do it through the Nkosi thing, but they have one a month. I don't want to use up all their time slots, but if we can have parallel just system science webinars and just have one every 6 weeks or so, whatever. So if anybody's willing to be the coordinator, then we can get that going. Otherwise, it'll just be kind of ad hoc. You know, every now and then we might get into a webinar slot. In fact, usually I get a call, desperate call, and says, we need somebody who can talk on this date. And somebody suggested maybe Jack could do it or John could do it or whatever. That's how it happened. I'd rather be a little bit more methodical about it. Somebody who can administer our collaboration tools. David Engelman helped me set up that wiki site, but we don't have a blog yet. We have the email reflector. We switch over to Google. It'd be nice if we can somehow do something to get more even participation in that. So here's my help wanted list. And some of the admin, we have several collaboration sites. We got the Google group, we got the Google site, we got the Systems Community of Inquiry. I think that's your site, isn't it, David?
Yeah.
Okay, then we have the, I don't even know what this is. The iSys Science, that's a SharePoint site. I'm not sure we've ever used it, but it's there if anybody wants to share files. Then we have the CMAP site, and we used to have an SS Discuss list with Nkosi, but I gave up on that because it's too hard to administer. And I hope someday the Director of Technical Education can fix that so it's at least as easy to use as the Google discussion.
Well, that's all going to get fixed now because we now have a director for IT.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. So I'm not going to hold my breath.
Did I hear you laughing, Jack?
So we just saw that this is our wiki page, and that's our discussion list. And here's a topic, just to get you interested, that we had a couple of years ago. And all of these presentations are located on our meeting wiki site in case you want to pull those up and look at them. So here's the topics, and we've added a little, we changed around the times a little bit as you saw before, but this is how we had started. So we're kind of being fluid about it. And in case you're interested, here's the detail information about each topic. And this stuff is on that January 2012 project page. Just scroll down to the comments and it's all there. And these slides also are an attachment, so you can pull up this whole slide pack. So just there's some books out there. We got on the left, Bud Lawson's book, Journey Through a System Landscape. We have on the right, Dwayne's book, Model Oriented System Engineering Science. I highly recommend both of those books. And then we have John Warfield's book, and he has many other publications, an Introduction to System Science. So I found that somewhat useful, but not as useful as the title would lead you to believe. And anybody working on a book on system science? You know, let us know about it. John.
Maybe.
Okay. Good. Okay. So I highly recommend all three of these books. And reading David Ng's blog, he had a nice reference. There's one thing called the best of ACOF or something like that.
Oh, ACOF's best.
ACOF's best. So there's maybe, and we're trying to set up a bibliography site on our wiki. I think we may have already done that. We call it the reference material. So let's see what's on there. Jack Ring, I think, put some stuff on there. Okay. So I think so far everything on here is stuff that Jack has put on here. But anybody is willing, if you can get the material, just attach it. Everybody has edit privileges, so just say add file. And if you find that you can't, that button is not there because you didn't sign in. At the lower left bottom, there's a little button that says sign in. So you just have to have a Google account. A lot of people don't realize that to edit, you have to go sign in. So I made everybody, every member of the discussion group, have edit privileges. Yeah.
So,
what if you just walked out of bibliography rather than just not actual materials?
Yeah, that was my question. You know, like the references you just.
So you're welcome to add a page and call it bibliography, and then we can start listing.
I think actually in Google, I think you may need editor, you may need owner authority to add a page, but once the page is added, then you can add
it. Page. It says
yeah, any member can add a page. I set that
I
privilege.
Okay.
So I want to make it easy. A project leader can add all the pages they want.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're reaching the 100 meg limit, and I have to figure out how to increase my quota. We might have to create some alternate parallel pages so we can expand out. So I'm learning this the world of wiki. You know, just running into some of this. So I think that's all I had to cover. Unfortunately, we're right at lunch, and. So it's 12 minutes till. Suggest we get at the head of the line, or
good idea.
So why don't we start up at 1 o'clock back in here, and I assume it's safe in here to leave all the computers. If you insist, I'll lock the door and I'll have to go get a pass key so I get back in. Anybody need the room locked?
Probably would be a good idea.
I think that probably would have been.
Okay, so why don't I go get the passkey before I lock it? I don't want to be locked out.
Make sure you're still on.
Okay, so I'm going to leave my computer. It's just a company computer. I don't care.
If this thing disappears, I've got to go sell shoes.
Yeah, see, those of us with Macs are more highly of our computer.
Okay, so we'll see you back here at 1 o'clock, and we'll start off with Bill's overview of Lynn stuff and the first start of his. So We'll probably start your stuff about 2 o'clock.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about the schedule. So it'll go from 2 to when?
90 minutes.
So 5 or 6?
Yeah, that's enough.
90 minutes.
Okay.
I'm over in the business.
Okay.